know it was the blunt. I know it was the blunt. Back again. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. Just for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon that cross. He's coming back again. The blood, one more time. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. Morning. Happy to be here one more time.
Amen.
Go ahead, sis.
I just want to thank God for being here.
Amen.
Thank God for that blood.
Amen.
I thank God for everything he's done for us. This word that he so gives us.
Amen.
So purely, so freely, and lip to ear. I just am grateful to be here, and I just couldn't sit still. I'm just
Amen.
Thankful.
Amen.
I'm grateful, too. I enjoyed what Brother Peter was saying last night. I got one thing out of it, at least, he said this flesh is dying, the spirit is dying, you know, and I
right.
just, for some reason, never thought of it like that. Like, we're fighting against two things that are just always dying.
Right.
But thank God,
right.
I've got a soul that believes
Amen.
This thing,
Amen.
And that's eternal.
That's right.
So I am thankful
Amen.
For that. Come on, Sister Joy.
Amen.
Go ahead.
I'm so sorry to cut Sister Sandra, but I just want to get up here because I didn't get up last night, you know, and my butt is just like stuck on the seat. And then I'm thinking like, Lord, I do not want to say these things. And he said, you have to say it because you're the only one who doing this.
That's
so
right.
That's why I'm doing this.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that I come back here in church one more time, and I got to attend a service last night, you know, and I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. And that I got this message, and this message is revealed to me. You know, I'm unreal on Facebook, and I am so new, and I do not really know what to do. But also, when Pastor Moore mentioned that thing about the Israel, Pastor Moore, I saw that video too, because the people all over the world, there are a lot of Filipino people in Israel, and I saw that the whole thing, so that break my heart. And the whole world in Facebook, they are praying. And I watch it. I'm thinking, they are so religious, like, amen, hallelujah. I said, come on. All the all the preachers over there are women. You know, they're preaching, they're this about that. I'm thinking, wow, they don't know that God is watching them.
Right.
You know, like right at this moment, I'm thinking, oh my God. And a lot, oh Pastor Mo, a lot of people, I don't know this real thing because I'm so new, like I said, but it's just a perfect timing that the time are so fast, looks like a lightning, but the people all over the world is just touching me. A lot of righteous people in there all over the world is just touching me. And they have to, this video that we're doing, we have to purchase video like every day, and then you have to purchase this star. The star is not really free from Facebook, but you have to purchase. And then they don't really have to give me a star, but they give me a star. And I'm thinking like, oh my God, it just amazed me. I'm thinking, oh my God, look at these people. And I said, every time I do my life, I said, I do not know what to do. Every time I said that, there is people in the bottom that try to help me, like, sis, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. They are watching me behind in the bottom. I said, my God, Lord, I said, I got to see this face from Israel, from Bangladesh, from, there are Filipino people from UK, from Norway, from Switzerland, from India, from all over the world. I'm thinking like, they have no clue who are they helping with, they're talking to, like, I'm here. I said, hey, and then I'm thinking, they don't really know God. And then they, you know, when they said about God, they said, I said, no, I'm thinking, it's hard. You cannot really please God if you don't know God. But I'm here watching them all over this word. I'm thinking like, wow, it's a perfect timing. I said, you people, you do not know that God is just serving this world because we are still, the bride is still here. Yeah. So I said, my God, it's about to just end now. And I'm here watching this pastor like all over the world. I'm thinking, my God. I said, Lord, oh my, I said, oh my God. There is also a lot of message believer there, but they don't have enough token that they can bring people. But I can, Pastor Moore, because right. I know it. And so I told Vic, I said, Vic, we have to focus on here, Vic, because it's just you and me. It's just you and me, Vic. I said, look at all these people that try to help us. And she says, I know. I said, yeah. So, Pastor Moore, it's my honor to touch these people over there. They're touching me. They don't know who are they helping with. And I'm thinking like, oh my God. I said, Lord, you just put me on display that I don't even want to do this thing. And that's why he said last night, you have to say this. So I said, no, I'm not going to say that thing. And then this morning, he said, you have to get up because nobody's willing on this building but you. So I have to say this. So I'm so thankful. And again, I'm thankful that this month is our anniversary for 29 years. And I'm so thankful, you know, although there is a bumpy road, but I got through to it. And, you know, Satan, although, you know, like when you go out there, you know, you're trapped in this temptation, but God, it just always make a way for me. And even if I don't want to, he break my leg. He did. Yeah, and that's what I learned here. So I said, okay, give up or what? Yes, yes, Lord. So I'm here and I want to praise him.
Amen.
Nowadays, a virtuous woman is hard to find. It seems like everyone the same. A modern Jezebel with makeup on her face, walking and prancing about with the tinkling of her feet, dancing and carrying on, imagining me. There's nothing like a bride of Christ. Her beauty is hidden in simplicity. city. She's so in love with her groom that she always wants to be by his side. Build with his word and wash in his holy blood without spot or wrinkles, as perfect as she could be. Dress of so modesty, her hair bouncing like a waterfall. She speak in deep sincerity, love radiates from her life so consistently, walking in the light of the day, her vessel overflowing with oil, sharing in his righteousness, a virgin to the world. Nothing like a bride of Christ. Her beauty is hidden in simplicity. She's so in love with her groom that she always wants to be by his side. Build with his word and wash in his holy blood without spot or wrinkles, as perfect as she could be. Nothing like the bride of Christ. Her beauty is hidden in simplicity. She's so in love with her groom that she always wants to be by his side. Filled with his word and washed in his holy blood without spot or wrinkles, as perfect as she could be. Spot or wrinkles, as perfect as she could be.
Let's sing 204 and only believe. Oh, go ahead. Oops.
Understood.
Let me get announcements out of the way, too. We got dinner after service today. And then be sure to come back for Bible study tonight. And we're coming in the holiday season, so be paying attention to special services and things. And Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah are going to visit San Diego. And that's the first week of December, the 1st through the 4th. So, sing page 204. What a day that will be.
Brother Scott.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to get my time in. Thank God. You know, God said moving. I was moving. But, yeah. You know, I also thank God for this place because it means everything to me. And I couldn't do without it. And the time is real. Either get in or get out because time is ticking because I just get my timing. And I thank God. I need to calm down. I'm nervous. You know, I know who I am, and I just love this place. It's true revelations here, and I would have no other way. And I thank God for all you guys because y'all helped me out too. And it's a body ministry, you know, and I just love it. And one mind and one accord in here. That's what we have. And I just thank God for all that. Thank you.
I
want to
say something real quick. I just want to thank everybody once again for all the prayers and support that you've given to me and my family during the time of my mother's loss and her passing away. And if you know me, you know I don't like missing the service.
No,
I don't. And if you don't see me, it's not that I don't want to be here, but my dad needn't care until we find a place for him. So I'm there for him. And I just want to say that the devil is a liar. I'm tired of the devil. He's throwing bombs at my family right now. And I'm the one who's standing for them. My family doesn't know God as I do. So I'm here for them. Amen. And I'm standing for them. And I'm believing no matter what the devil's trying to do, I'm done with him. He needs to flee. He can go away. But I'm standing strong. Amen. And I'm believing. And I'm there for my family. I'm there for my dad. I'm doing all I can. And somebody told me, you're the pillar of the family. I mean,
right.
I'm doing all I can do.
Right.
And, you
Amen.
Know, the thing that rang just true to my heart was, which you all know, Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that has kept me so strong, so many scriptures, so many, God has placed so many brothers and sisters here to help me.
Amen.
And when I think I can't do it, somebody comes along with a word or with help, and I appreciate it so very much.
Amen.
And I thank you, and I was going to play a song, but you could go ahead, sister. I'll get it ready.
Amen.
Good morning, body. I just want to say I'm so grateful. And just what my sisters and brothers have said, I agree with everything that they said. God has just been so good to me. And I thank him for the ministry. And just like my brother said, I am dying every day. I heard your message the past 2 days, and it has been very helpful.
Amen.
And I just want to say again, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm here. I'm meek and humble. You know my heart. Even when I don't get up, you know who I am. I know who I am.
Amen.
You know, him and I, we walk together. He guides me. And I love each and every one of you all.
Amen.
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 Before I change my mind and keep my mouth shut, I like what the sister said. She's doing all that she can do. But I like even more that where you stop doing all that you can do, God will meet you there and do the rest of the way.
Amen.
He doesn't want us to just go ahead and throw it all on him and do nothing. He wants a partnership. He wants a marriage with us. So do all you can do and trust that your husband will take up the slack and meet you there.
Amen.
Sitting here thinking about if you're
here, my humble morning,
yes,
in the house,
yes,
of the Lord. Brother Okeo, I've really appreciated and really appreciate, I love what you've been talking about. There's some things that you were talking about I've never heard before, and that was very enlightening.
I just wanted to get up. I really didn't have anything to say. But something that God has been dealing with me ever since Sister Sue the other night said something to the effect that compassion, I need more compassion. And I need more compassion, too. I prayed to God, I need more compassion. I raised a very hard-headed boy, and I wasn't very compassionate with him. And I think it continued on. But, you know, there's... You grew up in a Baptist church, and they teach this and teach that. And that's right. Bad. And it gets ingrained in your head.
Yeah.
And I'm dying.
Amen.
I'm dying. I have to be more compassionate.
Amen.
To people that I feel are bad. Does that make sense?
That's the truth.
I mean, hey, they... Just like Brother Branham said, I don't know where he was at, but he was with a group of ministers, and he was walking down the street, and he was like, oh, we can't take Brother Branham by this bar.
Right.
And they walked by, and Brother Branham said, there's a seat of God in there.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I'm going with this, but anyway, all I know is that since I've asked God to give me more compassion, it's just been unreal.
Amen.
Almost makes me want to cry, but... Everywhere I go,
yes. Yes.
I have compassion for somebody.
Amen.
At a Pee Wee football game yesterday.
Yeah.
Speedway this morning.
Come on, talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, thank you, Lord.
Amen. He's real.
He did it. I didn't do it. He did it. And I'm very thankful for what we get here. What, I mean, I've said it before. Brother Childers said it. Someone said it the other day. We've got the best of the best right here.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for it. I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to the word.
Yeah. Just wanted to get my time in, too, because I love this place. You know, and I love the people here. I love you, brothers and sisters. And, you know, this place is a special place. And, you know, I, too, brother, need to get some compassion because, you know, I got a 15-year-old and, you know, the hormones and things like that, you know, starting to bump heads here, you know, but it's just egos and, you know, stuff that we could just drop, you know, and I'm learning, you know, anytime, you know, I go through things, I learn from my kids more than anything else. And I just look at them and how they depend on me to just keep the lights on and put food on the table and just the basic things, you know, I depend on God just like that. And, you know, I was listening to something that Brother Branham was preaching. I was just like an audio track. And, you know, he was talking about when God just was like, you know, you need to start walking. And he just started walking, you know. And he ran into this black lady. And she was in the yard, and she called him a parson.
Yeah. Right.
He said, how do you know I was a parson? And I didn't even know what a parson was, and it's a minister, you know. So just like Brother O'Kale said, you know, when God reveals something to you, you really find out quickly that you don't know anything. So, you know, I'm okay with that, you know, because the zeal of the hour is, you know, Lord, I'm wrong, and your word is correct. You know, it's always been right. So long story short, you know, he was asking her, how do you know I'm a parson? And, you know, she said, well, she had this vision or like a dream, and, you know, she saw a man that was walking, and because, you know, her son was real sick, you know, he was about to die. And she saw the vision of Brother Branham in a cream suit or something like that, and he was walking towards, and she knew that was the Lord. And when she told him that, he just wanted to pray, and they prayed over, she prayed, really. It's by your word. It's by your faith, you know. And she prayed this prayer, and Brother Branham said it moved so much. I mean, he was touched, very touched, and he was healed. And then years later, the same boy they prayed for that got healed came up to him and, you know, told him, hey, how you doing, parson, and stuff like that. But Brother Branham said, long story short, Brother Branham said, God works on both sides of the spectrum,
right.
You know. And a lot of times I'm so quick to try to do something when I need to just slow down and just wait for him to work out the other side of that spectrum.
Right.
And I just wanted to share that this morning. God bless you.
Good morning to
my extended church family. My name is Eula, and I am the overseer of Nate. No. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I just want to say I do have a testimony, and then I have a prayer request as well. I lost my job in July, and I was under a lot of stress in that job. I loved it, but I didn't realize how much stress I was under until they let me go. And so I have learned in my life to let go and let God. Okay. Because we just don't always know what God's plan is.
Right.
But, you know, I got to keep smiling because people are like, why are you smiling? I'm like, you know, whatever God has in store for me, I know that's where I'm supposed to
that's
be.
That's right.
I haven't missed a meal, as you could see.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And I just have enjoyed this time, but, you know, I'm not ready to sit back like some. I like what I do. But no pointing of the fingers. But I just want to say I am grateful to God for all that he has done for me and continues to do for me. And I never lose faith. Sometimes I question, and then I question why I question. And I get back to the real work is knowing that God is in full control of my life. So I'd like for you to pray for a friend of mine who has just found out she has cancer in four different areas in her body. And so I'm asking that you all just pray for her to get through this and get through it without suffering. Amen. So thank you.
Amen. My turn. Got to wait in line around here. You know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, God knows how to bring a desperation to us, you know, and I was thinking about Israel, you know, and he uses the devil for this. You know, sometimes he just pulls back and says, go ahead, don't touch his, don't take his life, you know, but go ahead, and because he's just using the devil. Devil's no threat to the bride at all, never was, but God uses him.
That's right.
And I was thinking about Israel, you know, how he used the devil to drive him back into their homeland, you know, 75 years ago, and now he's using the devil again to bring a desperation. And
that's right. I think,
don't you think those 144,000 turn into God?
Oh, yeah.
When maybe they hadn't even thought of him for a while, you know, but that's always been, if you look back through the Old Testament, you know how God, they had to be prodded, you know. God let them lose a few battles, you know. So, oh, Lord, deliver us, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, this is all God.
Yeah.
You know, he's just allowing the devil to do his dirty work. And just like us, we have things we go through life, and if it wasn't for that, we'd forget all about him. I would. I'd speak for myself. I mean, I'd start looking to things of the world to give me what I needed, you know. Mm-hmm. But he knows when to pull back the comfort, you know, and let us say, Lord, I need you. Amen. You know, and I wanted to sing that song, Lord, I need you now, more than ever.
Amen.
No.
We'll sing that and we'll get him up.
I don't know if we have it in there.
Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Lord, I need you today before I walk out the door. I don't want to leave this place. Oh, need you now more than I ever have before. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come here this morning with a desire for a change in our hearts and our lives. Lord, I don't want to leave this place the same way I came. I want to leave better. I want to leave different. I want you to be the Lord of my life. And Lord, there's situations and circumstances that bring us desperation in a point that we kind of and look to you for guidance. Lord, the prayer request, Eula's request for her friend, ask you to move in her life and touch that body, Lord, that, Lord, the doctors would even be amazed at what's happened. Lord, the request that we have here in this assembly, the sick, the ones that are not feeling well, we'll ask you to change them. Lord, move in their behalf. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here today. Thank you for Brother Okeo coming by way of Fairborn. Ask you to, Lord, just anoint him this morning. Speak to us through him. Have your way so that when we leave here, Lord, we can be changed. That's our heart's desire. Thank you for all these things. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. It's been a good time having Brother Okeo with us. He's been here since Tuesday, actually, and he'll be here for services this morning, and then we'll have dinner after service, and then from there we'll have Bible study. We're going to have regular Bible study tonight. So any questions you have or any comments you have,
Brother OK will be here, and you could tell him to his face. It's good to have him here. I was asking him the other day, I said, how long have I known you? And he said, it's been 20 years. We were in Africa, and he could tell you the story, but we were in Africa, and the person that was interpreting for us was not interpreting correctly. And then they asked, we were preaching, and the preachers out in the congregation were saying, that's not what he's saying, because they knew English, they just couldn't interpret. So they're like, you're not saying what he's saying, and the interpreter was misinterpreting, and they fired him. And they needed an interpreter, and Brother O'Kale stepped up, and didn't know him, but he stepped up, and he's been interpreting for me ever since. So God bless Brother O'Kale. That's 20 years ago. I didn't know. I asked him, I said, how long has it been? He said, it's been 20 years. So we've been friends for 20 years, and he's been coming to the United States on and off over those years, and we always have him come stay with us and spend some time with us here in Fairborn. So it's good to have him here. So he actually, I have to take him to Indianapolis Airport. He's got to be, he's flying out at 5 in the morning, so we got to take him over there. And Caleb and Jay said they'd go with me, because we got to go like 11 o'clock at night on Tuesday night to get him there by 2 in the morning so that he can catch his international flight. So you pray for him, because pray for us too. I told him, I said, I should be mad at you. I said, do you know how far that is? But he didn't have any choice when they were setting up the flights and things. He didn't have any choice. And it's not too bad, you know. Even though I'm sitting around doing nothing, I guess I'll get in the car and drive to Indianapolis. So thanks, Eula. Now they think I don't do nothing. It's good to have Eula here today. And it's always good to have my family around, and good to have Melanie back home again. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's good to have, and pray for Eula to get a job. She needs a job so she's not sitting around doing nothing. Oh, I ain't gonna let that one go. No, pray for her, because she wants to keep working. You know, she wants to do some more. And hey, you know, if you feel like working and you want to work, work. You know, I did find this out watching older people, not me, but older people, that if you stop moving, and I really learned that when Jay got sick, because Jay was laying in the hospital for 2 months, not moving for 2 months, he lost every muscle in his body. And that's from not moving. And the simple task of eating and moving your arm to feed yourself and the things that we take for granted. You know, if you don't use your body, the more you sit, the more you will sit. And if you don't, Don said, if you'll either use it or lose it. And Brother O'Kale, he's I ain't going to say how old he is, because he cuts his hair. You don't know. He ain't as young as he looks. I'm just saying. But he and I got out on, what was it, Tuesday or something. I went walking with him because he likes to walk. And we got out and started walking. He said, yes, I go 1 hour out and 1 hour back. And I thought, oh, Lord, did he say we're going to go for an hour? Or did he say, and I didn't say nothing. I just kept walking. And after a while I said, now, how far did you say we're going? He said, 1 hour out. And I said, he did say that. He went 1 hour out and 1 hour back. And, you know, just walking, moving, using your body, using your muscles. If you don't use muscles in your body, they will atrophy, or you'll lose them. And there's a type. There is a type. And because I ain't preaching today, I ain't going there. But if you don't use what God's given you, you'll lose it. David at one time loved God. was on fire, was stirred up, so much he would jump and shout when the ark would come. He got to a point in his life and went through so many trials that he lost. He sat down and forgot about how good God's been and started talking about how bad his son is and how bad his family is and how he's losing everything. And he forgot all the things that God had done for him. And he finally got to a place he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. So you can be saved and not have joy. You can come to church and not enjoy it. You can be a Christian and not be happy. You can wake up every day and be bad and mad about everything and everybody and don't have nothing about you but grumpy old. That's how you get grumpy old people. Grumpy old people start out as grumpy young people. But when they get old, they just get set in their ways. As Jay said, get off my grass. You know, you get grumpy.
Yeah.
So you need to keep a smile.
Yeah.
You need to keep the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
That's your strength.
Amen.
If you wake up and you're weak, start thinking of the goodness of Jesus.
Right.
Start telling him how good he's been to you.
Amen.
Start talking on the joy of the Lord. And when you get to start talking about that, it won't take you long. Your aches and pains won't be the first thing you talk about. It'll be the last thing if you talk about it at all. God can give you so much joy, you forget you were sad. So start out moving and keep moving. And when you get older, keep moving. Don't sit down. Brother Childers, he kept moving. His entire life, he kept moving. And so if you stop moving, you'll lose what you got. You say, well, I'm a strong young man. You can sit down. Jay laid there for 2 months. He's a strong young man. Laid there for 2 months and lost everything. He's getting beat by an old woman who was carrying. He was trying to lift 1 pound, and she was doing this with her 1 pound weight. That's how weak you can get. But look at him now. He's using his muscles. We were working, and we had to grab some bags of ice, and I forgot. I'm like, Jay, grab that bag of ice, and I grabbed one. He grabbed one, and he told later, he said, hey, I lifted a bag of ice. And I'm like, oh, that's right. He wasn't supposed to. But you use it, and the more you use it, the more you will use it. So, yeah, back to Eula. She ain't ready to sit down. She wants to keep using it, keep moving. So pray for her to God to get that girl a job when she goes back home. She's from Georgia. She's heading back home. And just let's pray with her that God will give her the job that will be better than what she had. It's true that you can get a job and you don't realize how much pressure's on you. I felt that way when I was with Baker's, and when I gave it up, I felt it leave. Just you literally could feel it, the weight lift. You wouldn't think you could, but you literally can feel the weight lift off your shoulders when you get out from under a load. And so when you're working like we do, you know, Jim's back there, he's tossing, throwing, pushing, he's shuffling, juggling, and doing all this stuff. That's pressure. And he's doing it now because he's a young man. He can do it. But when he backs off of that, he's going to see how much pressure he really was under. And it's the same way with the age we're living in. We don't even realize the pressure that we are under just living in this age. When we get over there, they're gonna say, how did you endure the pressure of this age? Because the pressure of life itself on you.
Amen.
Back in the day, they didn't worry too much. They didn't have that much. Had a little bill here if they had that. Paid a little money here. But now we've got bills. We've got credit cards. We've got jobs. We've got family. Everybody's pulling on you. The society's beating on you. The world's pumping its weight on you. And it's just, we're getting it from every side. And we don't realize it. Just wait till we get our glorified body. We're going to realize how much weight we had on us. And when everybody looks at you and say, you were from 2023, Paul's going to look at you and say, man, I wrote the scriptures and I went through a lot, but 2023, God bless you. God bless you. So just keep those things in mind. That's my commercial break. And but we've had Brother Peter Okeo here. He was here Wednesday and started talking about understanding of Brother Branham's ministry and the breaking it down between his pastorship, his being an evangelist, and turning around and becoming the prophet of the hour, and when that took place. And then in yesterday's service, he brought it to a point where Brother Branham started changing and started bringing an understanding of, getting an understanding of more of where he was at, but still wasn't there yet. So he saved that for today. So I told him, I said, get up here and preach. I said, you can read if you want, but I'm going to be pulling on you. You're going to preach today. This is our last service. So y'all pull on him. And so Brother Peter Okeo, Kenya, Kenya born, Kenya raised. Come on up here. And I'm going to turn it over to you. Put that in your pocket. God bless you, sir. Take care. You take over.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Oh, you are such a lovely people. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I don't know where to start, you know. They have started up things all over. I just don't know where to start. But God is great and God is lovely. Of course, this is the last sermon we are having together. Wednesday, I should be flying off because I'm taking my international flight from New York and going straight to Nairobi. So about 14 hours flight. But I thank God that now it's a direct flight. Yes. Otherwise, we had to fly either to Europe or to the Arabian countries and then fly to Nairobi. It was taking longer, about 3 days to fly back. 2 days coming, 3 days going. Because when you come, you gain time. When you go, you lose time. So, still, I talked with my wife, and she said, pass my greetings to the church. Amen. They are just following. You know, women want to know, how was it? How? So I didn't tell her that Sister Mo bought her some presents. I didn't tell her that. I said, I want that to be a surprise. When I arrive and I have such a load for her, then I become the boss, you know. Praise God. I was just hearing this talk about Israel, and something has been striking my mind since yesterday. And I thought, let me check it up. So I just checked it up there. And now in Joshua chapter 1, verse 4. Joshua chapter 1, verse 4 says something. I'm not preaching on that. We're just passing through that. So let's start from verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And that's the Mediterranean Sea. But we've got the Gaza Strip there. In between. And the prophet says, the 144,000, the real Orthodox Jew, will settle in exactly the places that Joshua settled them. The rest of Israel will not be in their tribal orders, but the 144,000 are the only ones who will be put in their tribal orders, the way Joshua settled them. And so, there is something about that Gaza Strip, because the Mediterranean Sea should be their western coast. And you know, every time Israel has fought a battle, from 1948, they have gained ground. Every time they fight, they gain ground. And those real Orthodox Jews, the real hardliners, they settle in those places. Amen. The others won't. Remember, from the nations, we've got millions of Israelis who have gone back. But from those millions, only 144,000 will be settled in the order, their tribal order, in which Joshua settled them. So, Pastor Mo was just talking about, is it 1.1 million given 24 hours? And say, how will it work? And we were looking at it. Egypt is saying we are not allowing them to come in. Well, 2 million Israelites left Egypt one day. One day. And you see, they are saying, Israel is saying, south from a certain river, everything there we are going to deal with. And let me tell you, when they have done that, somebody is going to settle somewhere. They've got to make room for the members of Little Benjamin, the 144. They must get where their tribe was settled. Only God knows them. They don't even know themselves. But God is going to make sure that they settle exactly where they were before Christ comes for them. So you don't know why these guys attacked Israel so that such a thing would work. And you see, the Hezbollah, where are they? Aren't they in Lebanon? Or is that right? They're in the north. But look at that. When you read this, it even Lebanon is mentioned. So, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, that's in the west, that's the Mediterranean Sea, shall be your coast. And that's, that says the Lord.
Amen.
So, you won't change it. And let's come home. Millions have come out of denominations. and said, come out of her. Millions have come out. But there is a very small group of elect who will be settled in their predestinated positions and who will catch the word of their age. The rest of them, yeah, we are not a denomination, we are believers, but they'll never get their place in Christ because they didn't have that place. Remember, this redemption, he's only bringing back what belonged there. Because the law of redemption is every man back to his family. So if you are not part of the family of God, there is no way you'll be there. So if you have come close enough, you've come, that's the closest you can come. You can't come closer than that. You'll be near the bride. You'll hear about the bride. But you cannot touch the things that pertain to the bride. Well, why don't we go ahead with the message? Yeah, that was just for Israel. So that we can know modern events are being made clear by prophecy. Remember, not all Israel will settle in those places, but the 144,000, they must be in the tribal order that Joshua settled them. And our Joshua is the Holy Ghost. Yes. If we've got to step on somebody's ground to take back our rights, we are going to do it. Amen. That's the elect of this hour. Amen. Just like the sister was saying, I'll tell Satan he's a liar. And sure, he is. Mm-hmm. Now, when you go into the seals, Satan is saying, I still have them. I can do with them what I want. But Jesus says, no. I'm their kinsman redeemer. And I've got the title deed. Right. I've got the book in my hand. And he didn't get it in his hand for himself. He got it in his hand for us. And that's why we are told, go take the book. Yes. Take it and eat it up.
Yes.
Yeah, eat it up. And when you eat it, whatsoever you eat, you live by what you eat.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. You live by what you eat. So if you take the little book that's open in the hand of that angel, and remember that angel is not William Branham. He's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So you are going to him. He's the one who will give you that book. And when he gives it to you, it's yours. It's yours. You're only claiming what's yours by right. It's already paid for. You see? Jeremiah, if your father gives you something and tells you this is yours, I've allotted this to you. Then you go and you get all those things from the government and this portion was apportioned to you. Nobody, I don't care how strong they are, they can't take it from you. Legally, it's yours. And the prophet says, what's the taking of that book? Because Revelation 5 verse 7 says, he came and took the book. And the prophet says, what a sublime statement. Amen. Just taking the book. Yeah. Nobody would do it. But he did it. And then he didn't do it for himself. It has been there since Adam lost it. I was just telling the brothers down there in Indiana, there are two things that we've got to get clear. Malachi 4, restoring the faith of the children to the apostolic fathers. And then Revelation 10, bringing the book to give us all the rights that Adam and Eve lost. Not to restore us just to the faith of the apostles. This is bringing back. what Adam and Eve lost. That's what we are doing now. We are not just reclaiming the faith of the apostles now. By the opening of the seals, when we get that mystery, it's telling us, you are God before the foundation of the world. And you are not like other human beings. No. You know, people think we are all the same. We are not. We are not. We are not all God's people. They are God's people, but there is God's family.
Amen.
They are God's people because He created them. But there is God's family. You know, and God's family are not even created. Brother Jeremiah? Mm-mm. He created. To create means to bring into existence what was not in existence. But I was in existence before the foundation of the world. I was in Him. I was part of Him. So He didn't create me. I proceeded from Him. Yes.
That's right.
Amen. I'm part of Him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Look, physically speaking, I'm the gene of my dad.
Right.
And that gene of my dad couldn't make me if it was dead.
That's right.
It had to be alive.
Right.
If it died, it couldn't make me.
Right.
And we came from God as living genes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
We are part of Him.
Amen.
So He didn't create us. We proceeded. He just spoke us forth.
Amen.
But He created the heavens and the earth. He created angels. He created human beings. And those created human beings will not be in the millennium. And they'll not be in the New Jerusalem. They'll be outside there. And every year they'll be coming to the New Jerusalem. The prophet says they'll be granted to live eternally, but they don't have eternal life. But the bride has eternal life. Because eternal only belongs to God. And they are part of God. Oh, brethren, let's read the scriptures.
Amen.
Hebrews 7, verse 1 up to verse 4. Let's just stand up for the reading. Brother Moore has already prayed over the word, for the word, so we can read straight away. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. You may be seated. Yeah, we praise the name of the Lord for these revelations. We thank God for His grace. Think about millions of people. What have you done more than they did?
Right.
They have more zeal than you. Look at the revivals, so-called, going on in the denominations. We have this revival and that revival and that revival. And, oh, they are putting in millions and millions. A lot of money. Praying, fasting. But Paul, what does Paul say about Israel? In Romans 10, he says, my prayer to God for Israel,
right,
is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have zeal, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Amen. We, that time it was spoken about Israel. Today, it's the Gentiles. Amen. They are the ones being blinded so that the gospel goes back to Israel. Amen. Yeah. That time it was Israel being blinded that the gospel may come to the Gentiles. And you see, we already are in the last mystery. The mystery of God. That's why the prophet preaches things like the unveiling of God. The mighty God unveiled before us. God unveiling himself, making himself known, making you realize that all this time, you are part of him. That's what he wants us to know. And that's the true secret of this Melchizedek mystery. I may not have time to remember that quote, but the prophet says, now we can see our journey through life. Amen. In that message of Melchizedek. Mm-hmm. When the mystery is made known, it says, now we can see our journey through life. Coming all the way from the eternal God. Yeah. All through how you came. As a gene, how you came. All that change that took place. How it happened with Jesus. And how it's happening with us. And what are all those stages he went through? And how are we going through them? And where are we? And from here, where are we going? And suppose we die before, what happens? And then what happens after that? And what's the ultimate thing? He wants us to know. Because in this age, Jesus Christ has revealed himself as the true witness. And the prophet says, true, not as opposed to false, but as perfect realization, yes. As opposed to partial realization. Right. All along, we've had partial realization. But now he's bringing us into perfect realization that we should know as we are known.
Amen.
So it's moving closer and closer. The more you get closer, the more you see. And the more you see, the more it pulls you.
Yes.
And just like Pastor Mo was saying yesterday, the events that were fulfilled in the last hours of Jesus' life. Actually, the prophet says there were more prophecies fulfilled when he was hanging on the cross than the rest of his life put together. And you don't know. We think, the way things are rolling on, maybe this will happen, and then that will happen, and then that will happen. It can all just roll on, and it's over.
Amen.
And they are gone. So, let's come to that perfect understanding. We have seen the beginning. What the prophet said about God being a theophany, and God creating man a theophany. And how he said that theophany was the soul. And you know, as I said, it's still being preached right now in many places. And they won't let you, like Pastor Mo was saying, what I'm preaching here, I can't be allowed to preach it in many places. Actually, I've been blocked. Because they say you are teaching a false thing. They say so. But we've been so used to that now because 1979, when the Lord first showed me that the seventh seal was opened, everywhere they were preaching it's not opened. Brothers coming from outside Africa were preaching to us it's not opened. So everybody in Africa was preaching it's not opened. So one time the Lord just told me, go read the seventh seal. And when I was reading it, he just opened my eyes to see that the prophet says it's opened. And says, and I caught the revelation of it. He says it's a threefold manner. And I'll tell you one fold of it. And he spoke it. He said, one fold is those seven thunders. And I said, it is open. But when I preached it, it split the church into two. And they have remained like that ever since, 1979. Then Brother Way sent a tape through a brother called Brother Stone from England. And he was to blast my pastor. I wasn't the pastor that time. And said, anybody who is preaching the thunders is of the devil. And people took that up. And he said, you know what? Brother Way is the one that the prophet resurrected. So that alone made people believe it. Then I asked them, yes, he was resurrected, but do you know why he fell and died? The prophet was preaching something and he doubted, and the prophet caught it and spoke it, and it shocked him. That's what caused him to drop dead. It was doubting the prophet. So is that the best example you want to give me? Some people say the sons of the prophet says, no, brother, we have the message. I don't need sons of the prophet. Elisha didn't pay attention to them. Neither will I. I'm paying attention to the word. It wasn't stored in the sons of the prophet. So we want to get the word. So we saw part two, the beginning of the change, when he went beyond the curtain of time. Then he realized those theophanies that he was talking about, they are not just spirits floating. But he says, one thing I know, I touched them. They are real. They are as real as you're real. And they have their senses. You know, he had said they don't have senses. They can't touch. They can't feel. They can't smell. They can't. But now he realizes they have. Because he went there and he saw them. And they embraced one another. Yeah. Then he turned and he was looking at his body. So when people say the theophany became flesh, and then a miracle happened in the grave, and the flesh turned into a theophany and went and preached in hell, and then on that day, the theophany came and miraculously again raised the body. I said, when the body turned to theophany and went to preach in hell, what remained in the body to be raised? What remained in the grave? You've got to make it match. Yeah, it's not running. Yeah, you got a dead end because you've turned the body into a theophany. You are on a dead end because now there is nobody there that can see corruption. You've got to produce a body to raise. And then you tell me that if the theophany, if the body didn't turn into a theophany, if the theophany turned into a body, then you tell me that theophany will see corruption? It's confusing a bit. You ought to go back to the notes and check it again. So let's come to the perfect understanding. Let's look at this. Who is this Melchizedek? Paragraph 29. You see, now let's get right into the service now quickly. Turning now with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. Now listen to this statement. And another revelation on the message. In the morning, he had preached marriage and divorce, which was a revelation. Because just a few days, he had said, God willing, within a short time, we will understand the truth on marriage and divorce. Now, the same day, he brings two mysteries. Marriage and divorce in the morning, which was a complete mystery, took him 3 years to get it. And now you see, he started the beginning of seeing the mystery in 1960, when he went beyond the curtain of time. But I told you, yes, it made him have a change of outlook, but God still had not revealed it to him. But now, 1965, 5 years later, he got the complete revelation. Remember, even when he was preaching the seals, the fifth seal, he still thought they are the souls under the altar. And he had said that the souls under the altar are the Christian saints. He said they are there crying in their theophanies, crying, want to come back. But now, when he came to the fifth seal, he said, I would have made a terrible mistake. But God came down. The pillar of fire was right in that room to open his understanding. And one of the angels was there to explain to him. And he was seeing everything like you see a film right in front of you. That's how he even saw. It was Moses himself and Elijah himself. He had been asked that question earlier. Moses and Elijah, is it somebody will be born or it will be them? He said, well, either. It can go either way. He said, I don't know. But now he said, I saw him. He said he looked. He saw Elijah alone. Then again, he saw the two of them together. Said, there he is, there he is. He was seeing it. These seals opening to the prophet. He was not just having a dream or a vision. He was seeing it. Just like Moses was seeing Adam and Eve and the creation. Adam, Moses saw everything. He was writing what he was seeing. And the prophet, those seals, he was seeing everything. And he said, I took quick notes, then went back into the Bible. You know, before that, he would take the scriptures and pray. And God would give him the scriptures and he'd pray about it to be given the understanding. But when it came to the seals, it was not the scriptures he was given. God was opening up something before him. He jotted it down, and then God led him to where it was in the Bible. That's why he says in Spiritual Food in Due Season, says it's not written in the Bible, but it's hidden in the Bible. It had to take God to take him back into those scriptures, to tell him, here is where I hid it, here is where I hid it. You know, you can hide your thought in your words. Yeah, you can speak in a certain way. That he says, okay, you remind me of this, and I'll explain to you something. You say, okay, why did you say that? Say, I said it because I meant this. So you hide your words in your words. Or you hide your thoughts in your words. But when the right time comes, then you explain it. And that's what God did. And that's why the prophet says, I can show you this seventh seal right there in the book of Genesis. Because God had showed it to him. Now let's look at that. He says it's a new, another revelation on the message. So it has now come. The word has come to the prophet. Now let's take paragraph 55 because he reads the scriptures which we have already read. Okay, from paragraph 55. Notice now his attribute. Then the attribute was first God, the thought. The attribute itself. All in one, without being expressed. That's the eternal God before the beginning. God dwelt alone with his thoughts. That's what he asked Job. Come on, buckle up. Stand up as a man. Tell me if you know. Where were you? When I laid the foundation of the earth. God, Job didn't know, but today we know. Why? He has revealed it. Where were you? Today we can answer. We were in you. Before the foundation of the world. We were part of him. We were in the great eternal. There was no time. There was no matter. There was no light. But there he was, the great eternal. And there we were in him. Amen. We were the stars in him. See? So there he was, all in one, without being expressed. Then when he expressed secondarily, he became then the Word. Then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. St. John, the first chapter and first verse, notice, in the beginning, but before the eternal. Before the beginning. Because in the beginning was the Word. But before the beginning was the eternal. Notice. In the beginning was the Word. When the time began, it was Word. But before it was Word, it was attribute, a thought. Then it was expressed. In the beginning was the expression, the Word. Now we are getting where Melchizedek is. That's this mysterious person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hold that there now. Notice. His first being was spirit. God, supernatural. All right. The great eternal. Second, he began to form himself towards flesh. He begins that journey of coming to being man. To being flesh man. He first takes up that theophany. You see? In a theophany, it's called the Word, a body. And here there is something I want to explain that I find is a bother still to many. When it says, it's called the Word, a body. Remember, the theophany is called the Word. But that does not mean the Word is God, the Word. There is something you'll say later on. Because A brother told me, Brother Peter, anywhere you find the word, put theophany. No. Uh-uh. This is the word, a body. It was created. It was brought about by the word. It's called the word because it came forth. And all the predestinated have their bodies like that. And that's what Jesus said. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But say, but I go to prepare a place for you. He has not gone to prepare theophanies. They are already there. They were there when he was here. They were there before the foundation of the world. Because God knew about all that he had in him. And all of them, he brought forth their bodies. But it's a body called theophany. It's not. It's called, it's a word body. Because this is flesh or dust. That's word. Because it's not made by hand, by man. It's not from the dust. It's the word body. But remember, there is the word that we are feeding on. We are not feeding on a theophany. Because people get that mixed. Now, oh, praise God. This then is the state he was in when he met Abraham, was called Melchizedek. He was in the form of theophany. Now we'll get to that and prove it in a few minutes, Lord willing. Now, paragraph 58 says, a theophany is something you could not see. It could be right here now, yet you cannot see it. It's just like, and I thank God for this explanation, because it takes away the veil. It's just like, well, like television. That's in another dimension. Television. People are moving right through this room now, singing. There is colors also. But the eye is only subject to the five senses. Your whole being is only subject to five senses, rather. And you are only subject to what the sight has been limited to see. But there is another dimension that can be seen by a transformation by television. That's the fourth dimension. And we know there are other dimensions. That's why people trying to prove supernatural things using science, it can't work. Science is in the fourth dimension. But even hell, demonic powers, that's in the fifth dimension, is still higher than what science can touch. But when a Christian dies, he goes into the sixth dimension. And that's where you get the theophany. Now, you see, when we hear that a theophany can appear, can disappear, not in the sixth dimension, brother. It's right. In our three-dimensional world. Right. Like when you go to heaven, the seventh dimension, Christ in the glorified body does not appear and disappear. When we'll receive bodies like his own glorified bodies, his own glorified body, we'll see him. Yeah, we'll go to meet him. We'll be seeing him. Why? We'll be changed. The prophet says we'll drop this body and pick it up again, redeemed. And then there'll come such a baptism of the Holy Ghost that it will be glorified. Remember, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So the law of sin and death must be taken away from this body. And that's why it will be dropped and then gathered like Adam's body was gathered without the law of sin and death in it. Right. Remember, The law of sin and death came into Adam after he had broken the word. Now, when it's gathered up, the law of death is no longer there. The law of sin is no longer there. And then that Holy Ghost baptism glorifies it. Remember, Jesus told Mary, "Don't touch me. I'm not yet glorified." Because you can be resurrected, but before you are glorified, you can still die. He called Lazarus, and Lazarus died. He has kept Moses and Elijah for about 3,000 years now in their mortal bodies. Elijah never died, but Moses actually died. But what does the Bible say? When Satan and the angel, when they were fighting over that body, the angel told Satan, "God rebukes you." And the prophet says, Moses didn't have pallbearers. They couldn't have taken him to where he was going. So God sent angels to become his pallbearers. They took up his body. But now, in the presence of life, how can you die? He just became alive. Because there is no death in the presence of God. This presence kept the manna that was gathered in the days of Moses fresh for hundreds and hundreds of years. Yet outside, it got wiggle tails. And this is the mystery. This same pillar of fire, when he comes, he takes the dead letters and makes it bread to the believer. Those who have him in them, those who are born again, this same pillar of fire comes and quickens your understanding to see that word. And you see something that you never saw. Though you are reading that word over and over again, just like we saw the prophet was reading it over and over again. In this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have one already waiting. All the way, 57, he was preaching that. But then he comes later on, he says, "That never struck me. I never noticed that." But he was using it. You can use it, and you don't know what you're talking about. You may think you know, but until he opens your understanding and makes you know, you'll never know you don't know. And that's why everybody on earth, every preacher knows it. And Brother Moore, they'll shut you down. Say, "Keep quiet. You don't know what you're talking. We know." And every preacher knows. The denominations, they know. The Pope knows what he's talking about. In the Baptists, they know. The Catholics, they know. The Pentecostals, they know. But they don't know that they don't know. Praise God. My. Praise God. Now, oh my. See? It's in another dimension. So, I want us to solve this thing of the theophany appearing and disappearing. In our three-dimensional world, it will appear and disappear. Just like Jesus came in that glorified body, a seventh-dimensional body, and he could appear and disappear. Look, not only that, he could walk with them, talk with them the whole day, and they don't know who he is until he opens their understanding. Then they realize, oh my, it was, didn't our hearts burn while he was talking? Yeah.
Why do you feel excited when you hear the word of God? Something in you is burning. Why? He is here. We may not see him physically, but he is here. He's the only one who can cause your heart to burn within you when you hear that word. The angels of God are here, but we can't see them. They are in another dimension. But when we get to that dimension, we will just see them. It will be normal. Yeah. See? Oh. Now. See? Now, television does not manufacture a picture. Television only channels it into a circuit. And then the television screen picks it up. But the picture is there to begin with. Television was here when Adam was here. Television was here when Elijah sat on Mount Carmel. Television was here when Jesus of Nazareth walked the shores of Galilee. But you're just now discovering it. They wouldn't have believed it back there. You would have been crazy to have said something like that. But now it has become a reality. And so is it that Christ is here. The angels of God are here. And someday in the great millennium to come, it will be just more real than television or anything else because they are here. But you see, they are here, but in another dimension. You know, Jim Reeves sang that song, "Some Glad Morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away." Then the prophet preaches and says, there is nothing like flying away. You see, we'll just change dimensions and then we'll see him and then we'll walk on home. See? Now, he reveals himself in his great form of what he claimed as he enmorphs himself into his servants and proves himself. Now, what is that enmorph? That enmorphe comes from the stage act. That is, he changed his mask. So when you see him in his theophany, he has just changed the mask. When he comes in the body of Jesus Christ, he has changed the mask. And the same way he can change the mask, he can still put away all those masks and on the day of Pentecost come down and take other masks. And today, you can be God and more. He just comes and dwells in you. And the world sees you because that's what they can see. But when he looks at you, he sees God. And now you better stop looking at yourself and seeing yourself the way you think. You start seeing yourself the way God sees you because he knows what he made you. It's not what you are trying to make yourself. Christianity is not you trying to make yourself. Christianity is realizing what he has made you. Yeah. Because if you are told to make yourself, who would have done it? We don't even know what he wanted to make. But he knew. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We are his workmanship. He's the one working on you. And you cannot go ahead of him. You can only be what he has made you. And if he doesn't work on you to make you what he wants you to be, it doesn't matter how much you want to make believe that you are, you won't be. That's why when you find yourself in a certain situation and you find God showing you this glorious thing, just say, thank you, Lord. Amen. It's nothing that I did. It's grace, amazing grace. Amen. See? So he brings this. Now, here he is in the form of spirit. Then he comes in the form of an enmorphe. Now he appeared to Abraham enmorphe. When Abraham was returning from the slaughter of kings, here come Melchizedek, talked with him.
He appeared to him in a mask. That was God in a mask. You see? Now, paragraph 62 and 63. The other day, in the Tucson paper, I was reading an article that there was this woman driving down the road. Of course, you know the story. Let's go down. Well, each one of them testified the car chugged, hit the man. He went up in the air and everybody saw it. Witnesses and two or three carloads of them, they seen it happen. Come to find out, 5 years ago, because they tried to look for the man, he wasn't there. 5 years ago, there was an old man with an overcoat on, hit and killed on the same spot. So, when you live here, you are not dead. You've got to come back, even if you are a sinner. And be judged according to the deeds done in the body. If this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have one waiting, an enmorphe. That is the word. It's called the word body. Now, listen to this part. Paragraph 67. Now we see the attribute. Sons of his spirit have not yet entered into the word form body. But what did we read the other day? He says, God made you a theophany. In the beginning, he made you a theophany because he made you in his image and he was a theophany. That's the understanding he had at that time. But now with a perfect understanding, he says, we haven't become that. Amen. But a theophany, this body, the one in which you are now, is subject to the word and earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. Now, when we say it's subject to the word, people say we are subject to our theophany. No. Not at all, brethren. There is the word, the life, God himself. Amen. There is the word body. Then there is the flesh body. Right. We've got to make the difference. But people want to say, any place you find the word, put theophany there. It can't work. It just can't work. Just like the prophet says, the soul is the nature of your spirit. And then somebody says, any place you find nature, put soul. It can't work. Because it says, before you are born again, you have a soul of Satan. If you are predestinated, you have a gene of God, but he says it's there, but it's not active. Amen. It's just dormant. Amen. Why? A soul is a husband, and a woman can't have two husbands at the same time. But if the husband dies, another man can take her. Because the contract is still death. Our brother told us, brethren, when I die, I don't want anybody taking my wife. We told him, brother, sorry for you. The contract will be over. It's still death, brother. You are not going to tie her down when there is no husband. And the same way, you are married to that first soul. Amen? You are married to that first soul of Satan. That's why you love the world and the things of the world. The Bible says, if you love the world and the things of the world, the love of God is not in you. And then you go to Ezekiel, it says what? Ezekiel 18:20? The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but after me is coming one, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Right. That holy fire comes and burns and annihilates this soul. Amen. Remember, it must be annihilated. Yeah.
The prophet says he can't just be put aside. He can't be divorced for a period. He must be annihilated. Because if he just put aside, it's wrong. Because he says on the day of judgment, every soul will be judged in the body in which it sinned. So if it will be judged in the body in which it sinned, then brother, if that soul is still alive, you can't have this body raptured. Because it has to be kept aside for the judgment day. So it must be annihilated. That soul will never appear again, not even on the judgment day. It's completely taken out of existence. The same fire that will annihilate Satan and everything, that Holy Ghost fire is burning that soul and annihilating it. And then the gene of God that never did sin, nor can sin, is now taking over, is born into you, and you become a son or a daughter of God. You never sinned, and you can never sin, and the thought of sin is not, not even the thought, the attribute of it, cannot be found in that gene of God. The Bible says God can sin. He cannot be tempted with sin. Remember, you are tempted by, you are pulled or attracted by something of your kind. And because that soul is of this world, it's pulled by the world because it's of its kind. But that gene of God that came from the eternal, it's only as one pool, and the pool is back into God, back into the Word. Amen. That's when you go back into God and you are fully redeemed and you are in the bosom of the Father. I'm not waiting to be taken to the bosom of the Father. Right now, I'm in the bosom of the Father. I'm not waiting to be taken to eternity. Right now, when I'm born again, I'm baptized into eternity. Because eternity is not time. Time started. It's not eternal. The world started. Creation started. Satan started. Everything started. Before all these things are, I am. Yeah. Because I'm part of the great I am. And that's me. That's the true me. That's the me that was in God that God saw. Yeah. And that's the one God wants to manifest. All nature is groaning for that one to be made manifest. Not the physical body. Not my spirit of life. No, that gene that came from God. Amen. The only thing that can manifest God. Amen. The only thing can unite with the Word.
That's right.
And you see, what does the Word of God do when you hear the Word? When the Word is being preached and you catch it.
Right.
That's the pollination.
Amen.
Look at it like that. You know, I was looking at, now, God made man male and female. That means God was male and female.
Right.
Then sure, yeah. In the animal life, he made the female different from the male. But did you notice not the human? The human was male and female in himself. There was no woman. The present translations want to say God created the man and woman. That's a lie. There was no woman. There was, to begin with, there wasn't even a man.
Amen.
There was no man. The created man was a spirit man.
Amen.
And he was male and female in himself. That's the image of God. They asked the prophet, what does it mean when it says God created man is in his own image? He said, God is a spirit.
Amen.
And he created man a spirit being.
Amen.
And God was male and female in himself, and he created man male and female in himself. And when he came down in that body of Melchizedek, he was still male and female inside that body. And when he came down and he was made flesh in the body of Jesus, he was male and female inside that body. Because God had not yet separated the male from the female. Then he died on the cross, paid the price, went to hell. He left that body. People say we are part of the physical body of Jesus. Brother, he left the body on the cross when he went to hell.
Come on.
I was with him in hell.
Amen.
I overcame hell with him.
Amen.
When he took the keys of hell and death, I took the keys with him.
Amen.
When he arose, I arose with him.
Amen.
If you say I was only part of the physical body, then I never went to hell.
Come on.
I was left on Calvary, brother.
Yes.
That body was not Jesus. That was the body of Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
That body wasn't God.
No.
Come on now.
No.
This body isn't me.
Right. That's right.
It's a tabernacle. It's a veil.
Amen.
You got to get the real me. Then when he arose and took that body and left it in heaven and came back
right.
in his supernatural veil, the pillar of fire.
Right.
Then he spoke
Amen.
The female
right.
from the male.
Amen.
And in the church ages, we are told, the bride is the literal spoken seed word. And the same pillar of fire who said, let there be, in the beginning, Jesus said, I am the beginning of the creation of God.
Right.
The pillar of fire spoke his body in the virgin womb. But when he arose and took that body and left it up in heaven, said, I come from God, I go back to God. I come from being pillar of fire, I go back to be pillar of fire. So he came down and spoke the female out.
Amen.
And he said each of them was to come in the decreed designated period.
Right. Wow.
Some of them were to come in Paul's days, others the days of Luther, others days of Wesley, others, oh my.
Amen.
Others today.
Right.
You are not late. He who spoke you to come today.
Amen.
You are meant to meet with the word of this hour because that's what would pollinate you.
Amen.
And when the male and the female meet, because you are spoken word, then today he has brought the spoken word, the male part. We are the female part. When the male and the female meet, it must produce life.
Amen.
It must.
Amen.
There is no way you will hold it.
No.
Brother, leave this generation. Say, oh, we don't want children. God said, multiply.
Right.
Replenish the earth.
Right.
Oh, we are going to fill the earth. No. You can't. God knows you are going to destroy the earth, not to fill the earth. Because you left God. You can't fill the earth without God. Children are a blessing. See? Now, oh, praise God. So our bodies are subject to the word. That's the male part. Coming down and producing the life. That's why the children you give birth to, sister, those are the children. They're the genealogy of your husband. And you might find a child doesn't look like you or your husband, but trace it in the genealogy. Somebody was like that.
Amen.
Down the line, somebody was like that. And that's what's coming up. You can't come up any different from what was in the family of God.
Amen. That's right.
Oh,
And the Holy Ghost here is here to quicken you to become exactly what God saw you become.
Amen.
That's why you are told only believe. Only believe. Just continue receiving that word.
Amen.
Now we see the attributes. Sons of his spirit have not yet entered into the word form, but a theophany. Now, the difference between him and you as a son. He was at the beginning the word, an enemy of body. He came in and lived in that. So, you know, he is not that body. He came in and lived in that. In the person of Melchizedek. Then later, we never heard no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest. But he became Jesus Christ. Now you bypassed that. That's what your friend didn't want. To admit that we bypassed the theophany. He kept saying, no, brother, you can't say that. We are in our theophany. I told him, but the prophet saying you bypassed it. And God had a reason to make you bypass it. You see, because in that form he knows all things, and you have never been able to know that yet. Not only that. Listen to this. Oh, praise God. You come like Adam, like me. You became from the attribute, that is from the thoughts of God, to the flesh. Because you are just spoken. Then you came into the flesh. But I want you to see something. That gene of God, though it was moving through the air for those thousands of years before you were born, it is God's intelligence. That's what Psalms 139 says. You saw my members when there was none of them. You saw them in the earth. Every part of the dust that was to form your body. Because when your mother conceived you and that zygote was formed, she kept eating. Ate something from me and something from there. But look at it. To her, she was just eating. But God knew would make her crave for the right things to make sure that the right minerals that was to make up your body is brought up till you are born and you continued eating. See? Now, you bypassed that. You bypassed the theophany. You are to come down here in flesh to be tempted by sin. Amen? Now, let me go back a little bit. But when this life is finished, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. That's where we go. We bypassed it, but we are going towards it.
Amen.
Amen? That is the word. I hope now we don't need to explain that. That's the word body. That's the word.
Amen.
Then we can look back and see what we've done.
Right.
Now we don't understand it. We have never become the word. We have just become flesh man, not word. So, people singing and all songs are going all over. Oh, I'm hearing from my theophany. I'm doing what with theophany? I'm living in my theophany, brother. Come back. We haven't entered that theophany. It's in a different dimension. And it's not just a spirit that will come and enter this body. No, it's a real body. It's a body to take you Because remember, you are eternal. That gene of God is eternal. You must leave this body and enter another body because you are not dead. You have life eternal. Now listen. Now, we don't understand it. We have never become the Word. We just became flesh man, not the Word. But, and look, clearly makes it clear. You'll never be the Word unless you was a thought at the beginning.
Amen. That's right.
That proves the predestination of God. You see, you can't be the Word unless you are a thought. You have to be in the thinking first.
Amen.
So if you are not in the thinking of God, you won't be there. Now, I just want us to get something clear. The foolish virgins are right there. The righteous are right there. The angels, they are right there. So don't think it's too bad. The only thing they miss is the millennium. They miss the rapture, so they miss the millennium. And they will not be inside the New Jerusalem. But they'll be in eternity. They'll be there. See? Now, but you see, in order to stand temptation, you had to bypass the theophany. You had to come down here in flesh to be tempted by sin. Remember, he says in Marriage and Divorce, this is tempting time by sin. And why are you here during tempting time by sin? So all these temptations are too much. All these temptations. Oh, my. I don't know. I don't. You are worrying over the wrong thing, brother.
Amen.
You are above it.
Right.
Even the trials. Listen, those who are crying about trials, you are above it.
Amen.
The Bible says he'll not allow you to be tried beyond what you can overcome.
Amen.
So, you know, when I read that, I said, what does God mean? Because I would look at my trials, you know. I started this thing when I was a young boy. Actually, I started preaching when I was 17 years old. And I started preaching this message when I was 21 years old. And I've gone through a lot of rough stuff. Many times God would do miracles and I leave people praising God and laughing, and I would go at the side and cry. Because I would look at my trouble, they were not being taken care of.
Right. Amen.
Oh my. Oh, praise God. You bypass the theophany to become flesh man, so that you are tempted. Then if you stand, all the Father has given me will come to me, and I'll raise him up at the last day. See, you had to be fast. Remember, he says, with every temptation, he provides a way of escape. The problem is, when a temptation comes, we are more concerned with the temptation than anything else. You see, it's just like, let me tell you something. Satan is just like the serpent that it's used in his representation. Now, we have a lot of snakes down there in our place. It's a hot place, so you've got a lot of snakes. And did you know that you can be walking and the snake comes, and when you see it has arrived, don't jump. Stay calm. It will just pass and go. It can even pass under your feet and go. Yeah. Some of our mothers, when they were out working, digging in their garden, you know, they would go with the baby and set the baby down under a shade tree and go digging. Then you turn back and the baby is playing with the head of a snake. You are not to shout. You are not to panic. The advice is walk slowly, go pick up your baby, and walk away. But if you shout, the snake will strike. A snake bites in self-defense. The other day, I was telling the brethren, I got a snake in my bedroom. I tried to kill it, and it slithered away. I knew better than to tell my wife. I said, my, now what do I do? It's gone. I didn't know where it went to. I didn't know whether it was under the bed, under the mattress, or where it had. So I just kept quiet. 2 weeks later, my wife said, hey, you know what? A snake came out of the house today. I said, oh, you saw it? He said, yes. I said, that's good. I saw it 2 weeks ago. I said, what do you mean? And you didn't tell me? I said, I knew you wouldn't sleep. No. It didn't stop me from sleeping. Why? A snake doesn't bite somebody who is asleep. That's one funny thing with a snake. It will come and lay right, you know, it likes warmth. It will lay right next to you. But if you get up and start to panic, it will bite. Like dogs. We were with Brother Meshach one time in the city where he was staying. We passed somewhere a bit late in the night, around 9. And there were those big German Shepherd dogs came. Oh, 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 oh. He said, oh, Peter, there are dogs. I told him, Meshach, get behind me. Just stand there and don't worry. And the dogs came and I just talked with them and gave them my hand and they licked and wagged their tails and went away. He said, how do you do that? I told him, no, listen, when you panic, they'll react. Just don't panic. Just be calm. And the devil likes to make you panic.
That's right.
When you panic, the devil knows he's got you.
Amen.
So don't panic.
Amen.
Tell the devil, I am more than your match. Because God cannot allow me to be tried beyond what I can overcome. So for God to allow you to bring this trial, he knew I can overcome it. And I'm going to overcome it.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
If there is any temptation on my way, say, Lord, show me the provided way. Because there is a way. He will always provide a way out. So don't get bogged down by the temptations and the trials in your life. I told my wife, listen, I will not live with stress. There are two things I don't have in my life. One, the word regret. I don't have it. If I'm wrong, I go put it right. If I've done you wrong, I want to clear with you. Because I don't want to keep that burden on me. I don't want it to keep bothering me.
Right.
Yeah, if I did you wrong, what's hard saying, forgive me.
Amen.
Yeah. Even if it's a little baby, forgive me. Yeah. I've had two fathers today talk about their children. And you know, when you find that baby coming into a teenager, remember you've got a job in hand. And then the mistake we do, we tell the baby, that teenager, say, come on, grow up.
Right. Yeah.
He can't. That's where he is.
That's right.
Remember, you were once there.
Amen.
And sometimes they become such a problem, you feel like turning them out of your house. But if your dad turned you out of the house, think about that. You thank God that your dad suffered you.
Amen.
Suffer your children. Yeah.
Amen.
Suffer your children.
Amen.
And let me tell you how to win the battle. Don't take it personally.
Amen.
They are not doing it on you.
No.
They are not rude to you. They are not rebelling against you. They are confused. They need guidance. They need a buddy, somebody who can sit down with them and understand and explain to them. What do you think about that girl budding up? And everywhere she passes, people are noticing her beauty. And they are trying what the prophet calls the wolf whistle. Amen. Everybody's whistling at her. And sure, she looks at herself on the mirror and realizes, yeah, she's charming. Uh-huh. How do you expect her to behave? Say, I don't want you to be a prostitute. Did you become a prostitute when you reached that age? Explain it to them. You say, this is part of life. It's natural. Because when you are still 12, 13, you aren't budded, your beauty aren't come. That's when the beauty blossoms. And everybody, Brother Jeremiah, whether you like it or not, you'll turn your neck and say, whose daughter is that? Not for marriage, but you'll marry her. You'll admire her. Are you getting that? Oh, praise God. Now, let's move a little bit faster. I'm sorry. Oh, God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's look at this. We are about through. Paragraph 70. Then you see, he came right down the regular line from attribute before the foundation of the world. His name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Then from that, he became the Word, the Theophany, that's Jesus Christ, that could appear, disappear. Then he became flesh and returned back again, resurrected the same body in a glorified condition. But you bypassed the Theophany and became flesh man to be tempted by sin. And if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have not yet the bodies. So I think we are through that. We haven't become theophanies. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body subject to God.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost throws the body subject to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, he that's born of God cannot commit sin. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after flesh, but after the Spirit. There you are. That throws your body subject. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just get in Christ.
Amen.
It's all gone, see?
Amen.
Because your body is subject to the Spirit. It's no more subject to the things of the world. They are dead. They are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism. And you are a new creation in Christ. And your body becoming subject to the Spirit, try to live a right kind of a life. Oh, God, I would have bashed him, but I'm saved. It won't even be there. Yeah, I used to be a fighter. I was very bad. A man wouldn't challenge me and I turn away. But God did something. And one day we were with Brother Meshach. And a man really got on us real bad. And we tried to act tough. You felt hollow inside. It's no longer there. That old man wasn't there. It was just a hollow thing inside. Then we realized it's a waste of time. And just keep your cool. It's not you. It's God doing it for you. Actually, that's the reason you turn back and thank God. Say, Lord, I know it's no longer me. I couldn't. The real me, I know what I would have done.
Amen.
I know I would have bashed somebody. I would have answered back wrath. I would have done this. I would have scolded that boy real bad.
Amen.
But God in you,
yes,
loves him.
Amen.
In the midst of all the bad, you love him. I say, buddy, I'm your buddy. If you ever make a mistake, just come back to me.
Amen.
I'll help you. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's go to paragraph 78. And then, when this robe of flesh is dropped, there is a natural body, a theophany, a body not made by hands, neither born of a woman that we go to. Then that body, that theophany, returns back and picks up the glorified body. Now, it's not that that body becomes the theophany, no. Or that theophany now becomes this body, no. You have a theophany body, and you have this body. Now, the theophany body doesn't need to be glorified. It's already eternal. Right. But this body is the one God has to work on. That's the one that will be redeemed and then glorified. Because why does it need to be glorified? Remember, in this condition, you know, those who are saying the theophany is in the body, you can't have the theophany in this body now because you are three, and three is God's number. Now listen, there is something I want us to get to quickly. Okay, here it is. Who is this Melchizedek? Paragraph 90 something there. Now, Hebrews, he says, now in Hebrews 7:2, King of righteousness and King of peace, he is two kings. Now watch, Hebrews 7:2, King of righteousness, also the King of peace, he is two kings there. Now, since he came in the flesh and received his body up, you see, when he was there, he was two kings, King of righteousness and King of peace. But since he came as Jesus Christ, died and took his body up, that is glorified. In Revelation 21:16, of course it's 19:16, not 21. Revelation 19:16, he is called the King of Kings. He is all three of them together. Amen. See? King God, King Theophany, King Jesus. Amen. Amen? Amen? He is the King of Kings. It's all met together. See? King God, King Theophany, King Jesus. He is the King of Kings. It's all met together just like soul, body, and spirit. Remember, on this side, you have a soul, spirit, and body. Now, on the other side, when you get a glorified body, right, the spirit of life will not be there. You don't need it anymore. Because the spirit of life is what keeps this body alive. It has to disintegrate. You don't need it. Right. It was only temporal. Right. That's why I say this is a dying spirit in a dying body. Amen. So when it has been done away with and the body has been redeemed and glorified, now the theophany comes in. Amen. Then you have the soul, which is the son of the of God, the spirit. That's the spirit part of you. Then you have the theophany inside a glorified body. You are three this way and you are three that way. You can't make it four either side. That would be Antichrist. Amen. Don't make it four, brother. No. So if you bring your theophany now, and you have a soul, then spirit of life, then a theophany and a body, you are making it four. Right. You are off. It has to be three. Amen. So, praise God. So here it is. Now we find God, when you die, you go. You get into the theophany, right, and you are in the sixth dimension meeting those brethren. Amen. Then, when the time of resurrection comes, the prophet says, if you have died and you are up here in the air, right, because in the air, that's the sixth dimension, then you'll come and pick up this glorified body. The body will be raised, glorified, and you pick it up. Amen. But you see, now it's not William Branham who studied so hard till he got that. That was one of those mysteries that the thunders revealed. That's why the prophet says in one of these places, he says, thank God for these opening seals. Yeah. Now we can see the true mystery of Melchizedek.
Amen.
Yeah. He didn't have it.
Right.
And you can't have it until he gives it to you.
Amen.
So we are trying to bring the things that were preached earlier. Listen to this. Let's go back to Moses. There is something I keep liking there. Two pulls down to Egypt. Comes out. But God tells him, when you have delivered them out of Egypt, you'll serve me upon this mountain. Then when you read Deuteronomy 4, Moses tells them these words that I've spoken to you. You are going to live by these words in the land that you are going to.
Amen.
Don't add to it. Don't take away. Then Paul, when he preached, he said the same thing. If any of you thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the words I speak to are the commandment of the Lord. Even if an angel from heaven comes and brings something else, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Then people want to take Revelation 22 and say, William Branham could not add. You don't understand. Revelation 22 does not come until you bring in William Branham.
Amen.
Because he's the angel who revealed the book of Revelation to John.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. John never got it from Jesus.
No.
Let's just finalize that. Revelation 1. Let's see what he says. Revelation 1. Mm-hmm. The book of Revelation. He says, okay, from verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. He didn't give it to John. There is an angel. Then Revelation 19, let's see what's happening between John and this angel. Revelation 19. Okay. Let's start from verse 9. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I'm thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. In other words, I'm also saved like you.
Yeah.
Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He refuses to be worshipped. Yeah. Let's go to Revelation 22. The same angel, again, John wants to worship him. Verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. John, I'm a prophet like you. Don't worship me. I'm not a heavenly angel. I'm an earthly angel. I'm just a prophet like you. Yes. But he depended on God. And until God's time, he didn't get it.
So we have to depend on God.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. We magnify your holy name. We give you honor. We give you glory. Lord, take thy word and bless your children. And let your will be done. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Pastor Moore, welcome.
When you really see what God did in this hour, when you really see it, and see how it all runs together, how it ties, how it all fits, you can't help but to believe it. That is if you're a believer. Everybody else looks at it, and they don't really understand what God was doing. They don't understand how it was working. And the whole thing, God was doing working all the way through. You know, he put it in his word. That's what was so amazing about it. He put it in his scripture. And it was written 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. When the things that were written wasn't even possible to happen. And then God said it. And then after God said it, man had to match it. Man's lifestyle, man's everything had to match what God had already. And the whole time, God knew where he was going. He never changed his mind about his word. He never had to back off. Say, you know, I was going to send a prophet, but I decided, you know, the things are so bad, the condition. No, everything was right in line where it was supposed to be. And then he brings about a group of people who are ordained to see it.
Yes.
It's not even a fuss, a fight, or trying to, oh, I'm going to send this prophet, I'm going to send this word, and maybe somebody will pick it up. God actually creates the people to pick it up as well. If there is a microphone, there's a speaker. You know, if there's somebody that's going to speak for God, God said, my word will never go out void. He knew it wasn't going to go out void. He knew that whatever he said, it was going to manifest. And that whole coming of a prophet at the end time, which nobody was looking for. Nobody could see it in the scripture. And it's laying in there the entire time. I'll sing you Elijah the prophet. I'm going to restore the word, says the Lord. Malachi 4 said the hearts of the children, the fathers will be turned to the children. Luke over there where Jesus said, you know, the Son of Man and an hour when the Son of Man. You're going to long for one of the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:30, Son of Man be revealed. All these promises laying in the scriptures for thousands of years. And nobody could even begin to understand what it was about until God sent a prophet. And not only did God send a prophet, but he sent you. He sent you to believe and receive the prophet.
Right.
Brother Branham didn't come out here in hopes that maybe somebody's going to get it. Matter of fact, he said it wasn't even for them. That's what he said the other night. He said, this isn't even for Branham Tabernacle.
Right. Wow.
You know, you always think that it would be for the church that he's dealing with. It wasn't for Israel.
Right.
God always wanted a Gentile bride. And it wasn't for Branham Tabernacle. God always wanted a bride that was going to be able to receive the revelation of the word. And it wasn't Branham Tabernacle. They're still waiting for him to come back from the dead to open up the seventh seal. Here we're feasting on the body word of the Son of Man.
Amen.
Service after service after service. God's dealing with us. God's talking to us. We understand the truth of marriage and divorce. We understand the truth of who is this Melchizedek. We understand all the mysteries that God had. And the rest of the world's going on and haven't got a clue. Thank God for our prophet.
Amen.
Thank God to understand, to really understand what Brother Branham brought to us. And we're not stuck on Brother Branham. Brother Branham did his job.
Amen.
I'm stuck on you. What are you going to do with this? You know, Brother Branham got to ask, what are you going to do with this Jesus called Christ? You know, he's on your hands now. And it's not on Brother Branham's hands. He did his job. He was a messenger to the age. You're the messenger to Fairborn. What are you going to do? Take it in. Receive it. And it's not even hard because God has ordained you to receive it. My goodness. Thank you, Brother Peter. Come on, musicians. Now, don't forget, immediately following service, we're going to have dinner. And don't forget, tonight at 7, we'll come back here for Bible study. But for now, we're going to sing, There's Never Been a Day Like This Day to Me. There's never been a day like this day I see. That's in the key of G. There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There has never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day. Oh, there has never been a day like this day. This day I see, there has never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day.
Dismissed.